part of your day. Remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to because tomorrow matters. So tell a friend and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes.
No matter how many bags you are checking on a plane, you are going to pay.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. American Airlines announced today a fee just to check your bags.
Just a month ago, American Airlines and a host of others announced that they were going to be charging $25 to check a second bag on an airplane. Now, American says it needs to charge $15 for the first bag.
There are a variety of other fees, too. The situation is known to every driver of a car, the price of fuel. And airliners burn fuel in the thousands of gallons every flight. American also plans fewer flights, which means more crowded airplanes, and the company is laying off some workers. David Field at Airline Business Magazine.
You got to bear in mind that the airlines are in a fight for their life right now. This is a permanent structural change.
As if to make Americans' point, oil today went to nearly $134 a barrel, closing at $133 plus, and that was up about $4.50 or more. Oil analyst David Purcell in Houston.
I think as a consumer, you have to at least take a view that $4 retail gasoline may be here for a while, right? And that's ultimately what $130 oil means.
Phil Flynn at Aileron Trading says this price spiral is unprecedented.
A lot of the peak oil guys are saying, no, it's never going to peak. It's going to go straight up forever because the world is running out of oil. I don't happen to believe that. I think we're very close to a plateau or a peak. But, you know, I'll tell you this. When the market is on fire like that, it's very difficult to pick a top.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost 227 points. NASDAQ off about 44. The S&P lost nearly 23. Hillary Clinton is fighting now on a couple of fronts. One, to hold on to her superdelegates, try to convince some undecideds to join her. And two, to get Florida and Michigan's uncounted primaries to be counted.
Stand up for your rights to have your votes counted, because that is absolutely what we must fight for in America.
She was in Florida. So was Barack Obama, telling supporters in Tampa they stand at the threshold of history, meaning his election. Senator Ted Kennedy's out of the hospital. He went home to Hyannis today with a patch on the back of his head where the surgeons had gone in and where they found the cancer. CBS's Jeff Glore.
He will go through radiation and chemotherapy, his doctor says at this point. Surgery at this point is not on the table. Surgery would simply be too dangerous, potentially risking brain damage.
Experts told CBS News yesterday his best chance for longer-term survival would come if surgery to remove the cancer were possible. Word to the chunky from New York City. Even if you don't live in a third-floor walk-up, you can take the stairs to burn more calories. Green and white posters in the city say, burn calories, not electricity. Take the stairs. Folks could also park at the outer edges of mall parking lots anywhere, ride bicycles more, get off the bus a few blocks from your destination. Lots of ways to do it. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too, only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. From May 22nd through the 26th, save up to 30% on exceptional paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save, only at Sherwin-Williams, for painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Traditional marriage, defined, is legal in Oregon.
It's been 3.5 years since Oregon voters passed a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Now the State Court of Appeals is upholding that law, rejecting arguments by gay and lesbian couples that it should be overturned. They claim it amounted to a revision in state law rather than an amendment to the Constitution. An appeal to the state Supreme Court is expected. This law came about in 2004, in part after Oregon's largest county, Multnomah, issued marriage licenses to 3,000 same-sex couples. Those licenses later voided by the state high court. Tim Hall for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
Maine is one of the states with initiative and referendum wherein voters can petition with signatures to force an initiative to a public vote. A coalition called Fed Up with Taxes is trying to gather 55,000 signatures to force a November vote on its petition to repeal the tax hikes on beer and wine and the new taxes on water, sports drinks, juices, and just about every other consumable liquid. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
It's time to turn off our TVs and turn on our senses. Time to dial up the daisies and kickstart the chrysanthemums. Time to uncoil the hoses and unleash the roses. With Liquifeed Advance, the new feeder and liquid plant food from Miracle-Gro, makes feeding your plants as easy as watering and helps you remember there's a big, beautiful world out there. This weekend, get growing with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too, only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. From May 22nd through the 26th, save up to 30% on exceptional paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save, only at Sherwin-Williams, for painting, decorating, and great savings. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host is humbled that they named this program after moi. We got a lot to talk about, great people to talk with, and you're welcome to join the conversation as you wish. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. We'll kick off the show in a moment with Paul Waldman from Media Matters later this hour. We're going to talk about the situation at Guantanamo Bay, where a detainee who's had all the charges dropped against him remains incarcerated in limbo. And Al-Qahtani tried to end his own life back in April. We'll also talk about how FBI agents kept a file on the aggressive interrogation techniques that crossed the line into torture. Aziz Houk from New York University's Brennan Center on the Law will join us later this hour. Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst, he was the guy who gave the daily briefing to President Reagan. He's going to join us next hour. He's written an open letter to Admiral Fallon about Bush's intentions toward Iran. The White House issuing heated denials of a Jerusalem Post story and some speculation by NBC News about those intentions. Also on our program today, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will respond to the budget shortfall and Arnold Schwarzenegger's plan to sell the lottery. I think that's a really bad bet. And the odds that it'll work are less than, well, actually, they're greater than my shot at winning the lottery tomorrow night. And we're going to get the lowdown from Professor Marjorie Cohn on the effort to dump John Yoo from his law professorship at the University of California at Berkeley. The National Lawyers Guild had protesters at the graduation last weekend, and Professor Cohn will join us at the top of the Free Speech Zone today. Let's see if I can get all these things to work right, because I'm trying to come up with our powerful theme music for the book Ride. There it is, Edgar Winter, the albino from Texas. The book is called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media, co-authored by David Brock and Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org.
The mountain is high.
Come on!
the free ride continues. John McCain enjoying great relations with the media, who rarely criticize him, or if so, it's a one-day story. Paul Waldman, welcome back to our show today.
Thanks.
And I just got an email from my friend Gary in Sacramento linking me to a Huffington Post story today. We have another reported outburst, and I don't know exactly when, late 1990s, a sermon from John Hagee, the evangelical pastor who has endorsed John McCain. And in this sermon, and this is kind of turnabout because it's as old as some of those Reverend Wright sermons that we were subjected to, he said that Hitler was fulfilling God's will. Now, this is, again, a very inflammatory remark attributed to a pastor. And if we have fairness in the media, this should be played about 872 times over the next 38 hours, would you say?
I would think that would bring it up to around the level at which we saw Reverend Jeremiah Wright's comments played over and over and over and over. And, you know, to people who are familiar with John Hagee, this is not all that surprising. It's the kind of stuff that he says in his sermons. It's the kind of stuff that he's written in his books. His argument is that since the Zionist movement wasn't gaining enough steam and God wanted the Jews to return to Israel, he sent he sent Hitler in order to sort of push them in that direction. That's something that I think that John McCain would probably not want to have to answer for. But what we've seen when it comes to Pastor Hagee and some of the other ministers that McCain has courted is that he isn't really forced to answer for them. Who knows how many times Barack Obama was asked the question about the things that Reverend Wright said and whether he believed them and whether he agreed with them and how he should have reacted. But when it comes to Hagee, McCain has only been asked those questions a few times, and he sort of brushes it off, and they don't really follow up in ways that would really make him all that uncomfortable, because that's not the kind of relationship that the press has with McCain. They tend to go easy on him because he is, without a doubt, their favorite politician.
And, Paul, remember that debate exchange where Obama was required to both reject and denounce Reverend Wright in the same breath? And I'd really like to see some reporters require the same of John McCain.
Yeah, well, we see, part of it is just the way that John McCain gets treated differently than everybody else. And I think that there's a racial element, too. You know, I remember early on when Barack Obama first came to the Senate, he was on Meet the Press, and Tim Russert asked him about some comment that Harry Belafonte had made. I think Obama was Obama was probably too polite to say, you know, why on earth would I be forced to answer for something that Harry Belafonte said just because I'm black and he's black?
Yeah.
You don't see anything like that with other politicians. But when it comes to McCain, you know, the fact that he went down to San Antonio to beg for John Hagee's endorsement and then trumpeted it at a press conference and talked about how proud he was to have it, then you have a figure like Rod Parsley, who is someone who, basically says that if you send him your money, God will make you rich, and says that America was created in part to destroy Islam, and claims that he can heal babies who are born without brains. When John McCain gets up at a rally and calls Rod Parsley a moral compass and a spiritual guide, nobody forces McCain to answer for the things that he said. It just seems like the rules are different for John McCain.
So, Paul, you get to pick the metaphor here next. Would you prefer to see lobbyists thrown under the Straight Talk Express, under the bus, or have them ejected from the Bud Light aircraft that Cindy McCain loans to the campaign?
Well, you know, if you kicked all the lobbyists off John McCain's campaign, you would hear crickets chirping in his headquarters, because it seems like most of his senior staff are corporate lobbyists. His chief political advisor is a corporate lobbyist. His campaign manager is a corporate lobbyist. His deputy campaign manager is a corporate lobbyist. His chief fundraiser is a corporate lobbyist. It's just one after the other. Depending on how you count, I've seen some counts as... corporate lobbyists. That hasn't been this topic of too much discussion in the press and what it means. You know, does it mean that he's too much a part of that Washington insider culture of influence peddling? Because that's not the story that the press has been telling about John McCain. And so it's almost as though it doesn't really register with them. You know, if it were a different candidate, they'd be talking about it a lot. But since it's John McCain and he's the guy who they think is the one who stands up to the special interests and he's the reformer and all that stuff, it's almost as though they can't quite wrap their brains around the idea that John McCain is so in bed with all of these corporate lobbyists. But that's what the facts are.
And, Paul, I want you to know I've been doing volunteer PR work for your book and the excellent online chart, The Wheel, of all these lobbyists that you put together. And I imagine that you feverishly have a webmaster updating it at this time because some of these lobbyists have been asked to leave the campaign. And I think it's really rich that he turned to his campaign manager, a lobbyist on.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality choice fresh cut.
Nobody has asked, for instance, Charlie Black, who is, quite possibly the most powerful Republican lobbyist in Washington, who is the chief political advisor to the McCain campaign. His lobbying firm has lobbied for foreign dictators also, people like Ferdinand Marcos, people like Jonas Savimbi, the rebel leader in Angola. Mm-hmm. They've lobbied for a whole host of butchers and dictators, but Charlie Black has not been asked to leave so far. And every day, it seems, we find out about more people on the McCain campaign who have lobbied for these kind of unsavory characters, even when you get beyond just the standard kind of corporate interest that they're all lobbying for. So I don't know if that new policy is going to apply to the top echelon of the McCain campaign or not, but we'll have to see.
And I want people to go to the website MediaMattersAction.org. That's MediaMattersAction.org. That's where you can follow the links to see the lobbyist wheel that I'm describing here. And you can also get more information. There's even a link to buy the book, Free Ride, if that is your inclination. And on the same page, you will find the newest report that's come out of Media Matters. And, Paul, I'm not blowing any smoke. I'm really impressed on the job that you and your colleagues have done. It's called Fear and Loathing in Primetime, Immigration Myths and Cable News. And you monitored and analyzed the coverage provided by Lou Dobbs, Bill O'Reilly, and Glenn Beck. And give us the quick thumbnail, and then in the next segment we'll go a little deeper.
Well, we wanted to take a look at the way that these three hosts in particular propagate a whole series of myths about immigration. And so we looked at all of their programs since the beginning of 2007, and what we found and what we documented in the report is that there are a whole series of myths about immigrants and about immigration that are being repeated over and over again on these shows. And what it adds up to is that the public is being dramatically misinformed and fear and resentment is being stirred up, and that's what you're getting every night on those programs.
And Lou Dobbs had a segment about so-called illegal immigration, 182 programs in 2007. That's somewhere between 3 and 4 times a week. That's heavy, heavy coverage. We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman. We'll talk more about this report from Media Matters about coverage of immigration issues on cable news. If you have a question or a comment, call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We will not check your documents. My number is 888-573-8372. Thanks for tuning in to the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality choice fresh-cut and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Most mattress companies equate comfort with padding. That's why they stuff their mattresses full of polyfiber and cheap foam. But fibers break down, padding gets lumpy, and that doesn't spell comfort. The mattresses at SC41 Furniture rely on a far better design. We start with a base of 1,240 pre-compressed, motion-sensitive inner spring coils. Over that, we add a layer of highly resilient natural latex. And we finish it with a soft and stretchy cotton cover lined with pure natural wool. The result is unparalleled comfort, coupled with highly responsive support. And if that's not comfy enough, our double coil mattress adds a second layer of 1,500 microcoils for a total of 2,740 inner springs. That's almost three times more than a comparable U.S. mattress. For a better mattress design, come to SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
On May 25th, at the Golden State Theater in Monterey, great local musicians will share their music to affirm a great local cause. Red Beans and Rice, Rashad Eggleston, Nico Gioris, Superior Olive, Elisa Feynman, and Kimball Hurd will perform to raise awareness of the aerial spraying of our communities with pesticides. Support their efforts to stop the spray. For your tickets to this May 25th benefit, go to www.goldenstatetheater.com.
For me, it started in the fields. It started seeing people sick and dying from pesticide poisoning. I'm Bill Monning. I'm a candidate for Assembly today because working together, I know we can make a difference. I brought growers, workers, and neighbors together to take on the chemical companies. That fight took me to Sacramento, where I helped pass bills that have protected workers, rural residents, and our environment. I'm Bill Monning. Working with people to improve our lives and build our community is what is most important to me. For the past 35 years, I've raised a family here, taught at the Monterey Institute and the Monterey College of Law, and worked to build mediation alternatives to legal disputes. My latest project is bringing conflict resolution into our schools to keep kids from resorting to violence. Now I want to take those mediation skills to get things done in Sacramento. Join our campaign. To volunteer for Monning for Assembly, call 655-1792 or check our website, billmonning.org. Paid for by Bill Monning for Assembly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. We're talking about their powerful new report about cable news coverage of immigration issues in this country. Our music of the moment from Carlos Santana called Migra. La Migra is the Spanish name for immigration officers. Paul Waldman, this is a stunning report because it really is busting a number of myths and what you call urban legends, like this notion that there's a NAFTA superhighway, the idea that the net loss to Americans from social services used by immigrants is a significant number, when in fact they probably put in more than they get out, and the myths that illegal immigrants comprise a large portion of the violent criminal element in our country. And when you look at the charts, Lou Dobbs, Bill O'Reilly, and Glenn Beck promote these memes on a regular basis with very heavy-handed tactics.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And so, you know, something like, say, the crime issue, this is something with which these hosts are absolutely obsessed. So, for instance, Lou Dobbs in 2007 talked about crime and illegal immigration together 94 separate times on 94 separate episodes of his program. And so often what they do is they focus on a specific incident that happened. You know, for instance, there was a case in Virginia Beach in Virginia where a drunk driver killed two young women, and he turned out to be an undocumented immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's obviously a tragic situation, but the fact is that about 16,000 to 17,000 people are killed in America every year by drunk drivers. And Bill O'Reilly did segments on 13 separate episodes about this one case. Lou Dobbs did four separate episodes about it. So that's kind of the modus operandi, is that they hammer home these individual cases of where an undocumented immigrant committed a crime. But the truth is, if you actually look at the facts, immigrants are actually less likely to commit crimes. Broader population. This is what study after study has shown. And so if they're committing disproportionately fewer crimes, then in fact there isn't any kind of as Glenn Beck put it, an illegal immigrant crime wave. That's how what he said. There isn't any kind of a crime wave like that, and people don't need to be afraid. But, you know, fear is often the coin of the realm on these kinds of programs, fear and resentment. But unfortunately, they don't have the facts on their side.
Well, and as you point out in the report, Lou Dobbs exaggerates. He says that about a third of our inmates are illegal aliens who've committed violent crimes. And if you really take it apart, as you say in the report, 26% of federal prison inmates are illegal. It's not known how many of those are violent criminals. But
no, a lot of those people are in for immigration violations, but the federal prison population is less than 10% of the entire prison population. If you look at federal, state, local, the entire prison population, foreign-born prisoners make up less than 6% of the entire prison population.
Really?
So they're actually in there at far lower rates, and that's true. There was a recent study in California that just looked at the California prison population. The same thing, that they're foreign-born people are in prison at far lower rates than their presence in the population. But, you know, those kinds of facts don't often get discussed. Instead, they focus on these sort of specific incidents and kind of painting this portrait that there's this broad crime problem out there among undocumented immigrants.
Yeah. And is there any hope that we can get back onto a rational basis? I mean, these are provocateurs who use their positions in the media to fan these flames, and I can't draw a direct link between these men and the interests of the Republican Party and people like Tom Tancredo, who's, you know, off the charts in the immigration issue. But it certainly seems like there's some sort of a common interest, if not a coordination.
Yeah, and you know, you saw in the Republican primaries the way that the Republican candidates were kind of stepping over each other to see who could be the most anti-immigrant. And John McCain actually flip-flopped on this issue. He used to be in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. Then when he got in the Republican primaries and it got him in some trouble with the Republican base, he said, okay, you know, I'm not in favor of that anymore. We're going to put that aside. The important thing is securing the borders. And he was even asked if he would vote for his own bill that he sponsored on comprehensive immigration reform, and he said no. And so, you know, that's certainly the case in the Republican Party, that there's this strong anti-immigrant feeling. It's not true of the broader population, actually. The American public in general supports comprehensive immigration reform, including a path to citizenship. But it obviously plays a role in Republican primaries. Who knows if it's going to be a big issue in the general election. But there's no doubt that people like Dobbs and O'Reilly and Beck are feeding a climate of fear and sometimes even hysteria.
And so, Paul, you got summer vacation plans? Maybe rent a car and drive the NAFTA superhighway?
Yeah, you know, that's one of my favorite urban legends. Now, Dobbs has talked about this 20 separate times on his show. It's this myth that there is a secret plan to build a superhighway running all the way from Mexico City to Toronto.
Oh, come on. The terminals have already been built in Kansas City. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, and you know, you find these kinds of conspiracy theories around on the internet, but then they get validated when Lou Dobbs talks about them or Glenn Beck talks about them. And that's really the problem. You know, these guys have extraordinary megaphones, and they're turning them over to extremists and using them to propagate myths.
And it's bizarre that CNN, which considers itself a news outlet, would put Glenn Beck on their headline channel without any balance. There's nobody to counter his ravings. Paul Waldman, thank you for joining us. Read the report at MediaMattersAction.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by The Coop from Verizon Wireless. With a big keypad and easy-to-read screen, The Coop is a hassle-free phone that's easy to use. I'm Charles Osgood. If you're finally retired, you can do all those things that you've been wanting to do but never had the time. And being on the go, you'll need a cell phone you can rely on. But you don't want to have to deal with some complicated phone with lots of tiny buttons. Verizon Wireless has just the phone for you. It's called the Coop, and it has a big keypad, an easy-to-read screen, and dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coop from Verizon Wireless. It's everything you need and nothing you don't. To learn more, call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Senator Edward Kennedy, who the doctors say has a malignant brain tumor, is in everybody's thoughts and prayers now. Of his senatorial colleagues, not only fellow Democrats, like Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada.
No one is more prepared to fight and beat it.
And John Kerry of Massachusetts.
Every one of us knows what a big heart this fellow has. He's helped millions and millions of people in so many ways at so many different times.
But also Republicans like John Warner of Virginia.
The same strength with which he has spoken so many times in this chamber will be the strength that he'll draw on, hopefully, and we all pray for his recovery.
And Pete Domenici of New Mexico.
I hope that the good Lord intends for you to get well so you can come back and accomplish some more things and so you and I can have some more arguments.
Says our CBS News colleague Bob Schieffer in Washington.
Kennedy has been here so long and has been such a presence that he's like one of the monuments. It's just hard to imagine the Senate or this city without him.
He's been a key player in virtually every piece of domestic legislation, often reaching out to the other party.
He worked with conservative Republican Bob Dole on significant legislation to help the disabled. He worked with the even more conservative Orrin Hatch on legislation on children's health issues. And President Bush's education legislation would simply have gone nowhere without Ted Kennedy's help.
Ted Kennedy has had more than his share of sorrow in his life, but he's always seen himself as an optimist. As he once said,
the goodness of the people is deep, and that is the source of hope and optimism for the future. It's going to win out. I just want to be around when it does.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras, whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
All the world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be.
I believe our freedom as Americans is linked to the loss of freedom of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib, and other dark spots around the globe.
Everyone learned how to live together.
some reaction from Aziz Hook, who is the Deputy Director for Justice at the Brennan Center for Justice, a part of the New York University School of Law. He returns to our program today. We talked to him last year when his book was released called Unchecked and Unbalanced, Presidential Power in a Time of Terror, co-authored with Fritz Schwartz of the FAO Schwartz family. Aziz, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Nice to talk with you. And I understand that Unchecked and Unbalanced is either due out or already out as a paperback.
It is just out in paperback in good bookstores everywhere, if there are good bookstores everywhere still.
Well, in fact, I had lunch with a publisher today who's singing the blues and said that one of the big chains may have to go bankrupt this summer. So
orders, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on the ropes there. Well, Aziz, some interesting developments. This is not a brand new story, but it's reaching us for the first time because it's linked to Al-Qahtani, Mohammed Al-Qahtani, who is a detainee at Guantanamo Bay, has been described as the 20th hijacker. The allegation is that an immigration officer prevented him from entering the country in time to join the others for the attacks of 9/11. That's the government's version of those events. I have no way of proving or disproving that. And he's a client of Gitanjali Gutierrez from the Center for Constitutional Rights, who has been on with us before to talk about the case. We understand that she's on her way to Guantanamo today, traveling. But the interesting issues are two. One is that Mr. Qahtani, in April, apparently tried to kill himself. That's not easy to do in a hardened lockdown facility like Gitmo. But it points up the desperation that an individual would have, given that the charges against Mr. Qahtani have now been dropped, yet he remains a prisoner without any charges, without any sentence, and with a future that is, for him, unlivable because it is so undefined. This is the most miserable position I think you could put a human being in.
Well, and it also points out the paradox and the deeply troubling paradox of these military commissions that were established by Congress in 2006. The military commissions are, according to the administration, only for people who are detained currently at Guantanamo. And if you are selected, and there are, in fact, very few people who've been selected for trial by military commission, Qahtani was one of them initially before the charges were dropped, you face the possibility of capital punishment. And indeed, Qahtani's initial charges involved capital offenses. If you are not charged, however, or if you are acquitted, that does not mean that you are released. What it means is that you are returned to the Guantanamo population for detention for as long as the government sees fit to do so, which, according to the government's theory, is until the war on terror is over. And that war has no logical stopping point. That means forever. So Qahtani's case, I think, graphically illustrates the kind of catch-22 that detainees now find themselves in, a catch-22 that not unreasonably leads people to a kind of despair that ends in suicide attempt.
Yeah. And Aziz, let me tell you a little story. I've been active as a volunteer at San Quentin State Prison here in California for a long time, and I have gotten to know a number of life prisoners who are serving open-ended sentences. And their sentences are at the whim of a very politicized parole board in this state that has been very uneven and essentially has been denying virtually any parole that has been presented to it. And I was talking with one of these guys one day, and he was expressing his frustration with the fact that he does not have a definite sentence. And these words I will never forget. He said, know that someday I'll be able to walk out of here.
Well, I think for all of the Guantanamo detainees and for our clients, we have one client who's detained in South Carolina as an enemy combatant. We have two clients who are U.S. citizens who are detained in Iraq as enemy combatants. The worst form of torture the most painful aspect of their confinement is the uncertainty. The fact that you wake up knowing every morning that your fate lies wholly out of your control, and indeed it lies wholly out of your knowledge, and that rots away at human beings. And I think that that, more than anything else, is the cruelty of institutions like Guantanamo. And as you say, it is not a cruelty that is limited to these quite extraordinary detention sites. It is a feature of the way that our criminal justice system more generally has gone wrong. I think at Guantanamo it is compounded in a number of ways by the isolation, by the degradation and the cruelty of the treatment that individual prisoners receive. And again, Catani is a case study in this. We know that Catani was subject to what was called in 2002 the first special interrogation plan, which were the gamut of measures approved by Donald Rumsfeld be used on a limited number of Gitmo detainees. And this was things like sleep deprivation. It was things like physical beating, strip searches, forced nudity. Using Al-Qahtani's religion against him, so threatening to desecrate a copy of the Quran, placing him in embarrassing and compromising positions in front of women in ways that would shame him. All of these ways of stripping somebody of their humanity were used against Qahtani, and in light of those, I think that you have to understand his suicide attempt in light of that history of particular of him being picked out for special degrading treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's the reason, as far as anyone can tell, that the charges were dropped. The charges against him were dropped.
Yeah.
It seems that it would have been, the inference is that it would have been very difficult to proceed with a prosecution against him without the evidence of the abuses against him during his interrogation coming out and tainting even the statements that he made or might have made long after those interrogations. So rather than risk that coming out, no prosecution will at the moment will proceed, or they'll have to find alternative charges. And this is just an example of how you have the government on the one hand saying, look, we're using torture to keep you safe. But on the other hand, I mean, set aside the question of the lack of evidence that torture in fact works and does keep us safe, set aside the fact that the FBI thought it didn't, we find out in a recent DOJ, Department of Justice, Inspector General report.
And we'll delve into that momentarily. I want to talk with you about that, but go on.
Well, this is a case in which Al-Qahtani's case, that if the government is correct, and like you, I don't know whether the government's allegations are correct, if the government is correct, this is an instance where their own practices of torture mean that there cannot be a fair trial that ends in a fair conviction that demonstrates to the world that what people, that the commission of an act of terrorism is a deeply wrong thing. The government has shot itself in the foot with its own practice of torture.
We're talking with Aziz Houk at the Brennan Center for Justice, NYU School of Law, here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5, Peter B., if you have a question or a comment. Aziz, I want to get your reaction to this recent story. And just for context, we know that the population of Guantanamo topped out a few years
ago. Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. This is Hal. I know we're having some transmission problems. It is the high winds. Nothing we can really do about it at this point. Thank you for your patience.
Released, who were either completely innocent or whom we felt we had no real prospect of winning a conviction against. And recently, the military in Iraq alleged that a former Guantanamo detainee had been found as a suicide bomber. I believe he hit in the town of Mosul in the last 2 weeks. And this was spun as justification for the indefinite detention of anyone at Guantanamo Bay, because they were pointing a finger and say, see, we let these people out, and look what they do. They come back and attack us again. But I have a different spin on that, that this man was so radicalized by the treatment by the United States that the detention without charge was so oppressive that
while in our custody, he hardened and came to the determination that if he was ever released, he would do whatever he could, even giving up his own life as a suicide bomber, to gain some sort of retribution against these evil actions by the United States. What's your take?
Well, the case of Abdullah Saleh Al-Ajmi, Al-Ajmi is the man's name.
Thank you.
Is unusual. The Pentagon has been saying for a while that there are a number of people who have been released, gone back to fight on the battlefield, or who have gone on to do things that are, they constitute, the Pentagon treats as hostile acts against the United States.
And they put a number on it in the mid-30s, right?
That's right. But when you start to unpack, when you start to look at who those people are, they include people like the Tipton Three, who were the three British nationals who were detained and then released back to the UK, and the hostile acts that the Tipton Three are alleged to have engaged in, it involves suing as you say, out of the hundreds of cases where the Pentagon has actually been able to find somebody who they can assert, as far as I know credibly, and I don't know otherwise, that this person committed an act of violence after being released from Guantanamo. We have no way of knowing, first of all, whether Ajmi was picked up on a battlefield. So it's unclear whether this was somebody who was already a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the fact that he was released suggests that he wasn't. Quite frankly, the military picked up a lot of the wrong people. And as you say, it's been quietly letting those people go. And if Al-Ajmi was not a soldier when he was initially picked up, he was wrongfully detained, and that's the end of the story. Now, I think that the narrative that you just spun out, which happens to be the narrative that his lawyer, Tom Wilner, presents, the idea that this is somebody who is innocent, who is picked up, who is held for 5+ years without any due process, who is held in terrible conditions, who is held around other people who are quite radical and have violent, there may be some people who have very negative views against the United States, which is, again, understandable given the circumstances of their detention. But this person becomes, he turns to violence as a consequence of his experience. Now, I think that might be what happened, but we have to be very careful about using that as a way of explaining or justifying this, because, let's face it, there are still 300-plus people who have been treated atrociously, many of whom are potentially innocent, and the mere possibility that one of them may be released and commit an act of violence, it is not enough to keep detaining them.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason that every day that Guantanamo remains open, it continues to be a very effective recruiting poster for Al-Qaeda.
Sure,
and so that alone should be enough to warrant its closure.
We're going to take a break and return. Aziz, stand by. We'll be right back. His book is Unchecked and Unbalanced, Presidential Power in a Time of Terror. It's out in soft cover right now, so go check it out. Aziz Huq, H-U-Q, is our guest, Justice Deputy Director at the Brennan Center for Justice, New York University School. Your dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, He cares.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I'm running for Assembly. Did you know that 20 million Californians pay over $100 billion each year in health care premiums to poorly regulated insurance companies? Did you know that many of these companies keep up to 50% of your premium for their profits? Now, with my plan for universal health care, we can do this for 40 to 50% less, keeping the rest at home in your pocket. This means more money for you and your family's needs. It also means $3.5 billion each month staying in California's economy. This will change your life. If it bothers you that your premium goes up every year, or if it bothers you that you can't even get health insurance, if it bothers you that nothing ever seems to change in Sacramento, then elect a bold, fresh, new candidate who can get this job done.
Your vote can make a difference. Vote for Stephen Barkalow on June 3rd for the 27th District State Assembly seat.
My name is Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I approve this message.
It started with sightings, UFOs over Monterey Bay. I'm your host, Bob Oliver. With a quantum leap and open mind, I will take you another step further as chaos shows itself to us as truth. Saturdays at 9 p.m.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Coming up at the top of next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, Ray McGovern, former CIA officer who has written an open letter to Admiral Fallon, who just took early retirement as a CENTCOM commander, we think because he didn't support the plan to attack Iran. And the free world shrinking. Thank you, Neil Young. We're talking with Aziz Houk from the Brennan Center on the Law at the New York University. And it's the Brennan Center for Justice, New York University School of Law, if I can get all that straight. And Aziz, before we get to this FBI report, I wanted to ask you about the remarkable statement from Defense Secretary Gates this week that we're stuck with Guantanamo. And he makes the case that there are more than 70 detainees whom we cannot repatriate, and that for him is a sticking point that prevents us from closing Guantanamo Bay. If you were able to speak to him right now, how would you argue with him that we can indeed close Gitmo and that there are constitutional ways to deal with the population?
I think one should give Gates credit for focusing. The lawyers for many of the Guantanamo detainees will acknowledge that there is a lawful basis for holding some small group of the detainees, that they were involved in an armed conflict that is ongoing. On technical international law doctrine, they can still be held. But the problem is that Guantanamo has become a focal point for international opprobrium for what the United States does in the name of the war on terror. Guantanamo is a symbol that is much larger than the consequences of the individual things that are going on there. South Africa had Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela was detained for many years.
Right.
We have Guantanamo. Given that, we cannot afford to keep Guantanamo open without absent some sort of transformative change in the way that it is managed, run, and perceived in the world. And that, it's very hard to see that how it would happen. It's not impossible, but it's very, very hard.
Now, I do know the CCR did a report about some of these people who deserve to go home, and we've actually tried to send them there, and their native lands won't take them, and we can't find alternatives. And frankly, I have said that if they're innocent, there is a cottage next to my house. And I would be happy to take someone who I could believe is innocent of the charges that led them to Gitmo and bring them to the United States. Because to leave them at Guantanamo with the excuse that their native country won't accept them, I think is simply a huge human rights violation.
And this is actually an argument that I have made in The Nation last week. I agree with you that for some categories, the people who are indeed innocent, and actually there's a large number of jailer has been making against them for the last 5 years, then the just and fair thing to do is to bring them to the United States. The hard thing is what one does with the people who you do think are, who everyone thinks, and who maybe will say themselves, you know, I am a jihadist and I am committed to killing American citizens.
They should be charged and tried in an American court.
Well, there may be some who you can't try because they've not done anything, but who say we will go... People. There are countries, including Saudi Arabia, that have programs, they have essentially rehabilitation programs that are already used for Guantanamo detainees. There are many of the Guantanamo detainees who have been sent back to Saudi Arabia who have gone through these kind of ideological reprogramming program that the Saudis have set up. The Saudis have their own big radicalization problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've had to find ways of dealing with it, and this is one of those ways.
Now, Aziz, let me stop you there and turn to the other subject, because we only have 2 minutes remaining, and I want to get your thoughts about this FBI report from Glenn Fine, the Justice Inspector General, a 437-page review that includes, for example, disclosure of this episode. An American military interrogator appeared to have collaborated with visiting Chinese officials to disrupt the sleep of Chinese Muslims held there, waking them every 15 minutes for interviews by the Chinese. In another incident, a female interrogator reportedly bent back an inmate's thumbs and squeezed his genitals as he grimaced in pain. These are clearly methods of torture. And now our own FBI has information, some of which has been destroyed or suppressed, which documents the violations that have occurred at Guantanamo and elsewhere.
I think that the key thing that people should take from the Inspector General's report is the fact that it conclusively documents that torture was not just a low-level phenomenon, but it was approved all the way up to the principals, which were the cabinet officers and the vice president, and reportedly that the president himself approved the sort of the general contours of the program. This was a set of policies that were not just bad apples on a frolic of their own. This
right.
was something that was approved all the way up at the top, and that contradicts every statement that the administration has made about how torture occurred since the Abu Ghraib scandal broke. What the story, I think, with the Inspector General's report is that it puts the lie to the idea that torture was not U.S. policy.
That's right. And we know that Condoleezza Rice personally endorsed it, said it's your baby, told the CIA to go forward.
And here we have, a public interest group, it's not a human rights group that's saying this. It is a government investigative body
Indeed.
That's saying this. We have confirmation. And so now there is no question that this administration must go down in the history book as the torture presidency.
Aziz Houk, the author of Unchecked and Unbalanced from NYU. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you again.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it's crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who published... times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Where will it end?
Every day we're just reaching a new record, both in crude oil and gasoline prices.
And just as more Americans complain about airline service, here comes a new fee.
That's horrible. What else can we say? Just one indignity after another at the airlines now.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Oil futures didn't just surpass the previous record today. They kept going, ending at $134 a barrel.
What really sparked the run-up today was that we saw an unexpected drop in oil stockpiles. They fell by more than 5 million barrels last week, and that was the biggest drop in 4 months.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
We now have experts predicting crude oil of $200 a barrel in the next 6 to 24 months, and that's going to translate into prices at the pump anywhere between $6 and $7 a gallon. And you want to talk about a recession, prices like that are sure to not only put the economy there but keep it there for a very long time.
Gas prices now average $3.80 a gallon nationwide, but a lot of us are already paying $4 a gallon. Congress wants to know where it will all end, and lawmakers called in big oil executives to answer a few questions.
An angry protester disrupted the hearing. But senators like California's Dianne Feinstein were angry, too, at the oil executives' explanations.
You're all just hapless victims.
Dick Durbin said people are hurting.
If I ask any family in Illinois, what's the biggest pain you face, they're going to point at you.
Stephen Simon of ExxonMobil said profits are relatively small.
The profitability that we have is 4 cents on the dollar.
And Peter Robertson of Chevron.
We need to become a nation of energy savers.
He said long-term the answer is conservation. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card? Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. He got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. You're not laughing anymore, are you?
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The nation's airlines are struggling with higher fuel prices and passing off those costs to customers, but today's announcement by American Airlines shocked some flyers.
I think that's absolutely terrible because I travel every 3 months. It's really bad.
Here's CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordette.
American Airlines and a host of others announced that they were going to be charging $25 to check a second bag on an airplane. Now, American says it needs to charge $15 for the first bag. That means no matter how many bags you are checking on a plane, even just one bag, you are going to pay.
And United now says it's seriously studying imposing a similar fee. And it doesn't stop there. You'll also pay more to fly your dog or to book a flight by phone rather than online. The bottom line from David Field of Airline Business Magazine.
You're not going to be able to go to Denver and go up in the mountains for the summer. You're not going to be able to go to Long Beach or San Diego for the summer unless you have a lot of money and the time to plan ahead. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is.
Senator Ted Kennedy left a Boston hospital today as well-wishers cheered him on. He headed back to Cape Cod and told reporters it was good to be home. CBS News correspondent Jeff Glor has the latest on how doctors plan to treat Kennedy's brain tumor.
He will go through
radiation and chemotherapy, his doctor says at this point. Surgery at this point is not on the table. Surgery would simply be too dangerous, potentially risking brain damage.
On the campaign trail, going after voters in two very important states, both stripped of their delegates because they voted early.
We know the road to a Democratic White House runs right Michigan.
Hillary Clinton told Florida supporters she'll take her fight all the way to the convention if the two states continue their fight to seat their delegates. Barack Obama in Kissimmee.
My hope is in a couple weeks' time that we've won some more elections, we've won some more delegates, we've gotten the Florida delegation seated so that they're going to be at the convention.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
large, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too, only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. From May 22nd through the 26th, save up to 30% on exceptional paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save, only at Sherwin-Williams, for painting, decorating, and great savings.
At Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you've got...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Later on, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will join us. We'll get his reaction to Governor Schwarzenegger's plan to gamble the state lottery. I think it's a bad bet. But first, Ray McGovern returns to our program, served more than 20 years at the Central Intelligence Agency. He's a founding member of VIPS, that's Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray, welcome back to our program. Ray, do I have you? Nope, we lost Ray. I think we'll get him right back here on the telephone. Sorry about that. Ray has written a letter to Admiral Fallon, William Fallon, who recently resigned. He actually took early retirement and gave up his spot as the CENTCOM commander in charge of the entire theater of Iraq and Afghanistan. And he was General Petraeus' boss. Petraeus has been named to replace him. Where he was described by the journalist as the last man standing between the Bush administration and their intention to launch a military assault on the nation of Iran. And so he is a very critical figure in the current debate. And this is against the backdrop of this week reporting from the Jerusalem Post. And this report followed the... And the Jerusalem Post said that a senior administration official had told Israelis during Bush and the Bush visit last week that both the president and vice president supported military action against Iran. And this followed also an NBC television report that suggested something similar. And the Bush administration has responded very sharply, criticizing NBC and the Jerusalem Post for these reports, and their denials have taken on a volume that make them interesting on their very own right. Ray McGovern's with us now. Welcome, Ray.
Thank you.
Good
good to be with you, Peter B.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and I was just giving people a little context for your open letter to Admiral Fallon. Give us a little background here on why you decided to take this route to express your concerns about the Bush administration's policies.
Well, actually, it's pretty open on its face here. Fallon is the person that can speak to this problem. He's the only officer at the general officer level who has seen fit to take a stand on principle. He knows better than anyone what a catastrophe, you know, what an unmitigated catastrophe it would be for the United States to start a war with Iran. And he's shown some courage in the past. So what I'm suggesting to him is that this oath that we all take, all commissioned officers, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, it really doesn't have an expiration date. And you can retire, but the oath remains on active duty. And it's up to him really now to carry the ball, because he's about all there is. And I'm just hoping that that he and perhaps others now will see it as their duty to continue to defend the Constitution. You know, there's all this murkiness about whether it's legal or whether it's okay for the United States to start what we call now a preemptive or a preventive war. That's hogwash. It's just downright illegal. You could forget, you know, the supine Congress that we have. Just look at the law, the Constitution, which we're all pledged to defend. The Constitution says that international treaties, to include the UN Treaty, of course, the UN Charter, approved 89-2, by the way, right after the war, is part of the law of the land. And that treaty prohibits any such attack unless there's an imminent danger to the country that it's attacking. Now, as with Iraq, there's no imminent danger. And so anyone who would undertake on Iran, the Constitution is full approval of the UN Charter. International law should matter. It doesn't the law, as he did on the evening of 9/11. We know that from Richard Hope. He was when the president said, "I don't care what the international lawyers say, we're going to kick some ass." Well, that really doesn't matter. And what I'm saying here is that if Congress, for its own reasons, first and foremost, the Israel lobby, which always has Congress hogtied on an issue like this, if Congress can't muster the courage to stop this war, then it's really up to the professional military that know what the score is and know that they've sworn this oath to the Constitution, which none of us, at least back in our time, and Fallon is only a couple of years after me, none of us have really, nor did we take officer was not to tell lies. And so that ethos, when you look at these retired military, these retired generals and colonels who, you know, sold themselves to their, well, to the Pentagon and to the military industrial folks for whom they and were glad to represent themselves to the to be an officer. And then you have, on the other hand, a person like Fallon or a person like General Zinni or a person like General Scowcroft who have spoken out. Well, there's some hope there, but they need to be encouraged, because there's this ingrained reluctance to ever say anything that would put you at, you know, at loggerheads with the, quote, commander-in-chief, end quote.
Well, Ray, you make a very important point, and just to expand it a little bit, the president has frequently misstated what his ultimate responsibility is, because he says it's to protect the American people. And it's as clean and clear as can be, his primary oath is to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States of America. And he seems to have forgotten that, and I'm glad that you're reminding Admiral Fallon of that.
Yeah, it's a pretty clear-cut case here. The president, of course, has been quoted as saying, you know, the Constitution is just a piece of paper. And certainly that's what how he regards it. I mean, he's blurred the distinction between his duty to uphold the law and you know, signing statements which say, well, you know, I'll uphold this part of the law, but, you know, with respect to building permanent military military bases in Iraq or having a share of the control over the oil in Iraq? Well, no, I won't obey those prohibitions. They infringe upon my prerogatives as commander-in-chief. So, you know,
well, and it's interesting, just in the last day or two, Republican Senator Chuck Hagel has publicly stated that he would support impeachment for this president if he launched a military assault on Iran.
Yeah. Well, Peter B., that's all very nice, and I admire Chuck Hagel. But when I hear people like John Conyers, who have about 43 articles of impeachment right in their inbox for crimes and misdemeanors already committed, when I hear someone like Conyers or Pelosi and now Hagel say, wait a second, if you bomb or missile attack, we might think about impeachment. Well, you know, that has an air of such unreality to me, Peter B. It's just so it's just hard for me to understand that these people don't realize what this will mean. And, you know, that this kind of threat would deter or have Cheney and Bush shaking in their boots. So give me a break. You know, give me a break. This is not going to deter them. It just reflects the clear underestimation by these folks of what it would mean were we to get into a war with Iran. And Fallon knows what that would mean. That's kept him up many sleepless nights, I'm sure. And that's what he needs to tell the rest of us. He needs to find a way to do it because the media are already cheerleading for this next war.
And I share your point of view there, Ray, that threatening a penalty after the fact is pretty empty, particularly when the Democrats have refused to impeach for the clear crimes that are already identified. And while we're talking about this, there's an interesting play that is being presented for the next 3 weeks called The Impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And if you go to the website impeachplay.org, you can get a free ticket just by entering the name Peter in the code box there. It's impeachplay.org, and it's playing Friday and Saturday night in San Francisco for the next 3 weekends up through Memorial Day. So take a look at that. It was written by Bruce Fine, who's been a guest on our program many times, and I think you'll find it very interesting. Now, Ray, coming back to the issues with Iran, what do you make of the Jerusalem Times report and the loud denials coming out of the White House this week?
This is a game being played in the press. I'm sure that the Jerusalem Post did not make that up, that remark was dropped by some senior official. They raised the prospect of the attack on Iran, and then the White House comes out and denies it vigorously. But that keeps the should we believe Olmert, who's now saying we should blockade, the U.S. should blockade? People who say, well, Iran is not so much of a threat. The number who say Iran is not so much of a threat is dwindling to almost nothing now. And the drumbeat in the press has not reached the crescendo that it reached before Iraq, but it can be done overnight. You have the blue suiters in charge now, blue suiters and Navy flyers. Mm-hmm. This could happen without much warning. It could also happen as the result of some kind of provocation.
And, Ray, the denials remind me of the comments it was in January of 2003, just, 60 days or so before we launched our invasion, when Bush raised his hands, palms up, and said, there are no war plans on my desk.
Yeah, he had put them on the end table.
They're on the credenza. We're going to take a break. Ray, we'll be right back. Ray McGovern is with us. He's a founding member of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. That's Robert Perry's site, consortiumnews.com. It's called An Appeal to Admiral Fallon on Iran. More with Ray McGovern coming up straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The
Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention, and I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
And now this. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, powered by the new Gnarls Barkley. The CD is called The Odd Couple. Danger Mouse and CeeLo working together again. Got some good grooves, but frankly, I was a little disappointed.
I don't know what matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
We're talking with Ray McGovern, one of the founding members of VIPS, that's Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. He's written an open letter to Admiral Fallon about Iran. And what would you like Admiral Fallon to do, Ray?
Well, I'd like him to ask to appear before the Senate Armed Services Committee
He long since should have been asked. He retired in early April. And yet Carl Levin, the head of that committee, has not seen fit to ask him to come and testify as to why he resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Levin is afraid to do that, and Levin is, Levin is one of those, and, you know, some people call these kinds of folks traitors. I do not. I just think that he's terribly mistaken. He's one of those that finds great difficulty in distinguishing between what he considers to be the strategic aims and interests of Israel on the one hand and the United States on the other.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think he's a traitor. I just think he's mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the highest recipient of money through the conduits of AIPAC, the Israel lobby.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very insidious there. So he's not going to do anything. Now, Biden, there's some reporting that Joe Biden's going to ask Admiral Fallon, maybe. Okay, well, you know, Biden, I have no respect for Biden at all because he muffed the chance to stop the whole war when he was chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and was a big cheerleader for the war. So what do we do? Well, there are some committees in the Congress that Fallon should insist on appearing before. Now, were he to do that, C-SPAN would cover it. Others people would be forced to cover it. And that's the key, because the American people don't know what's going on. But then they'll just fall for any kind of propaganda from the regime. And the propaganda is really, they're having trouble getting it straight, because all this business about Iranian arms, okay? Petraeus says he's going to show the Iranian arms and destroy them before these reporters. Well, guess what? Guess what? That debriefing has been canceled now.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because they can't find any. They've been to Karbala. They've been all over Iran looking for Iranian arms, and what they thought were Iranian arms are Russian-made or Chinese-made or openly available on the market arms. Very few of them, like a handful, bearing any specific Iranian markings. Now, the press is not, well, they're just getting on to this, but they should have been on to it weeks ago, because
yeah,
they were all invited to this big briefing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the briefing was canceled. And the reasons were very lame, saying, well, we found out that they weren't what we thought we were. So the one reason for an attack on Iran, they're having real trouble with. And Petraeus, you know, I have to say this about Petraeus. You know, he reminds me very much of Westmoreland at this stage of Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can't believe the guy. I mean, he said in October, there is, quote, absolutely no question, end quote, that Iran is providing RPG-29 rocket-propelled grenade launchers to Iraqi Shiite groups. Now, I guess when people like Key and like him and Cheney say there's absolutely no question, you know, we've got to put our antennae up, because there's lots of questions. And this is what, that was October, now it's May. No proof that what he said was correct. And those people should be held accountable, because that was going to be one of the reasons why the United States could act. The Iranian bases that they say were supporting this activity. The other reason...
And Ray, hold on just a sec. We're joined by Nancy in Winters. I want to get her comment. Go ahead, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi. All three presidential candidates have said attacking Iran's on the table as well. And the comments you've made about Congress also trouble me. And I'm just wondering, do any of the politicians... I'm just so puzzled as to how any of these people could think that this is not going to be a total... a mistake. I mean, that's a mild word, but I mean, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I do. I think it's important to point out that Barack Obama says we ought to talk to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the big distinguishing factor between him and McCain. That's important because you can't talk to a country at the same time you're bombing them or missile attacking them. So
he also hasn't made the inflammatory comments that Senator Clinton has about Iran.
Yeah, for her to say, you know, we're gonna, what did she say, we're gonna zap them or
we'll wipe them off, or I don't know, annihilate,
yeah,
obliterate. Thank you, Katrina.
Obliterate, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not very helpful. Now the Iranians, I'm afraid, are sort of laughing up their sleeve, looking and saying, you know, these folks in Washington, they may be crazy, but certainly they know what's going to happen to their economy and the world economy,
yeah,
if they mess around with us.
Yeah, and we act as if there would be no consequences, like,
yeah,
it's a video game, that we could slam them and then just hit reset. Ray McGovern, thanks for joining us. I want people to go to consortiumnews.com and read your appeal to Admiral Fallon on Iran. Thanks again, Ray.
Thank you, Peter.
John Garamendi, California's Lieutenant Governor, next.
For
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
No quit. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The first prediction was that Hillary would drop out after Super Tuesday. Then it was March 6th, then it was May 6th, then it was May 20th. Even though she has scrubbed her speeches of any direct criticism of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton is obviously sending the message that there is no quit in this woman. Now the prediction is June 15th, but why quit even then? Everybody assumed that once the primaries were over, she would add up the votes and if she was behind, would surrender. But delegates don't actually vote until the convention, and technically, any delegate can change their mind up until then. So if the idea is to prove that she's the woman who won't quit until she's dragged from the battlefield, why quit June 15th? She has to find a reason to quit that doesn't look like defeat. A little like trying to get out of Iraq without it looking like defeat, which may explain why she keeps lending her campaign money. The Clintons aren't poor, but $31 million is a big chunk even for them. And that may be the point. It would let her say that to leave this race before the convention is abhorrent to every instinct in my body, but I must face the reality that without money I cannot continue in a meaningful campaign. If she leaves on those terms, she may never be president, but she'd become a senator for life. You look at Senator Kennedy, who has outlasted 9 presidents, and today the praise is rolling in for him even on the blogs that normally never run his name unless it's next to the word Chappaquiddick. Now, a lifetime seat in the Senate wouldn't be such a bad consolation prize for a woman who would make her mark on history.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's going to be a long, hot summer. Budget battle in Sacramento. And here's our official theme song. It's Richard March.
They're closing all the libraries, they're closing all the libraries, they're closing all the libraries, unlocking hallowed doors, they're closing all the libraries, doubling my parking fees. They're building prisons in old schoolyards.
TV and reruns of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, so why complain? That's Richard March. He's a Sacramento-based singer-songwriter, and his new CD is called Levee Road. A lot of good tunes on there, and that one is called Libraries. California's Lieutenant Governor joins us now, Democrat John Garamendi, live from Sacramento. John, how are you today?
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to go out and buy that CD.
It's got a lot of great songs on it.
I love
and
that song.
I don't have the
closing
date.
Closing all the libraries.
Yeah. Richard March has a gig in Sacramento in early June, but I don't have the date in front of me. So check your local. Yeah.
I was up at our ranch for our barbecue over the weekend and singing these songs of protest and hope, vision, and here's Richard March. I'm going to go get that CD.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Levee Road.
Levee Road.
And Peter Yarrow, your friend, was in Peter, Paul, and Mary, for people too young to remember the folk era. Well, John, it's going to be quite a long summer, as I mentioned, and the governor has proposed that we leverage the lottery, that we find it's essentially a corporate buyout of the state lottery, and that would produce some loans to the state, some of which would be applied to the budget gap this year and then diminishing amounts in the coming years. And I just think it's a bad bet. And I guess this is a sop so that he can say when that is rejected, sales tax increase.
Well, it is a very troublesome proposal in my view. It's the big spin, you know, and who's going to be the loser? Well, those Californians that buy lottery tickets and hope that they can be the big winner. It's a very regressive form of taxation in my view.
But, John, we can pump up the volume of the lottery.
Well, you can double it, but that doubles the number of, doubles the amount of money. We're talking about a per capita. So we got 38 million people. The average would go to from around 90 to about $90 per person is what presently is being collected from Californians for the lottery. Double it up to over $180 per person.
And what
incredible tax.
What could a private operator of the lottery do to enhance the volume of participation? Certainly, you know, they can offer bigger prizes, but that costs more money. And we've got so much gambling now in California, and of course, Tahoe and Vegas aren't far away for people who want the real action, but the Indian casinos and the card rooms suck up a lot of that gambling money already.
Well, I would expect. Well, first of all, it's more gambling. I mean, the bottom line is more gambling by people. By who are the gamblers? Well, they say it's the cross section of the state of the gamblers, but they're not talking about the effect that has on the various income levels of California. If you're buying $10 of tickets a year and you've got $1 million salary, it's nothing. If you're buying $10 a year and you've got and you're on I don't know, let's say $500 a month. Or even $800 a month, then it becomes a big portion of your income.
Mm-hmm.
So it does disproportionately put the burden on low-income population, and that's just not a good tax system. And besides that, it's all gambling, and I can't imagine that the Indian tribes are going to be particularly happy about seeing this new competition come in. My guess is they may very well oppose the idea in the November election.
Well, and the other side of that is the gaming compacts that the governor has negotiated with some of the tribes, it's not all of them, are essentially voluntary. We don't have any real way of enforcing the contributions that the gaming tribes have promised to make.
Well, I think there's a debate about that, Peter, but in any case, it does raise questions. And once again, you're relying on gaming as a source of revenue, and I think that's a particularly bad source to look to finance the state. Listen, we're the seventh wealthiest economy in the world, and we can clearly figure out how to invest in our future. How are we going to do this? How are we going to... or a good source of revenue. disproportionately than it does from the others.
And isn't the backup plan, the 1% increase in the sales tax, described as temporary? I'll believe that when I see it. But that's highly regressive and hits heaviest on the lowest income families in California.
Again, that's correct. But we've moved from a goods economy, one which was basically based upon goods, where the sales tax made sense, cars, automobiles, chairs and tables and so forth, to a service economy. And well over 50% of the economy is now service, and that is outside of the outside of our tax system. And even the governors at one point suggested, well, maybe we ought to look at that. Indeed, yes, maybe we ought to look at that. But again, the fundamental here is that the budget proposal, as made by the governor and even the LAO, is one that does not meet the investment needs of the state of California. Yes, we have bonds to build streets, roads, sanitation systems, water systems, and the like. But what the most important infrastructure of all is the intellectual infrastructure. It's the education of the workforce. It's the preparation so that they can compete internationally with countries that are heavily investing in their education system. Yes, the education system needs to be improved. No doubt about it. It has to. We have to have reform. It's complex. It's tied itself in knots, and we've got to make it clear that we need a well-educated workforce. The system has to produce. It has to be efficient. It's not, and therefore, reform is necessary in the education system. A lot of ideas are on the table. Those need to be discussed as much as we discuss the issue of funding them.
So, John Garamendi, do the Democrats have a strategy here? I spoke to John Laird last week. Is the Assembly Budget Chair. And he said, yes, we do have some proposals, but we want to wait for the governor's cards to be on the table so that ours don't get cherry-picked. So will Democrats put forward a comprehensive revenue enhancement program to cover this shortfall? Certainly some cuts are inevitable, but we know that we need more revenue. And of course, revenue enhancement is that nice euphemism for tax and fee increases.
Well, we actually, let me put it this way. You need more than just that part of it. That is a portion of the solution. The overall solution lies in two other things being added. One, what money do we need to really make California competitive and maintain our innovation economy? How much money do we need? Is there really enough in the governor's proposal or any other proposal? The answer, in my view, is that no, we're underfunding, seriously underfunding education. Along with that, we absolutely have to deal with the reform, and that has to be on the table. Education, other parts of the state system need to be seriously looked at so that we can be much more efficient. And then, thirdly, it's the revenue side of it. Without those three things, I don't think you're doing the right job. And is the proposal on the table to do that? Not yet. It needs to be put on the table. I'm working towards that goal and will continue to do so.
And I don't underestimate the challenges that you face, because you can count the votes in the Democratic caucus in each House and get to a certain point. But in either case, you need to put together a package that will draw at least some Republican support, because you can't pass a budget without them.
Well, I agree, and that's why I think we got three pieces that have to be on the table simultaneously. One, reform. Two, cuts. And three, revenue enhancements. And I think that then puts us in a situation where we can get the votes necessary to get this job done. As to what each of those things are, that is where the task lies, is how can we get it done.
Now, one thing that you and I have talked about, John, is the huge growth in the Department of Corrections budget. And the governor had proposed early release for up to 20,000, 22,000 nonviolent offenders. And as you and I have discussed, the real expense is in the older prisoners, the life prisoners. And in either case, is there any consensus in Sacramento that sharp reduction in corrections, which inevitably lead to a reduction in the population, is that in the offing, or are we going to try to pass on that?
Well, We'll see. There's not much appetite around here for dealing with that. I do think it needs to be done. I think it's not that these people are just going to be released back into the community. You have to talk about probation, parole. You've got to talk about the monitoring, all of which is cheaper, and you've got to talk. Those all have to be part of this. And when I talk about reform, that's what I'm talking about. You've got to deal with that. Simply to lock people up in a prison, which has become an educational system, become a better criminal. That makes no sense to me. So I think we need to do all of those things. Ultimately, it should turn out to be a much more efficient in the sense that you're not just rotating people in and out of the jails and the prisons, but one where you really are training people for jobs. They get out, they have a job, or they have the opportunity for a job. You've dealt with the drug issues, which are so terribly common in this, and you've got somebody out there that's monitoring them and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
All of that has to be done. Is it a way of saving money in the long run? Absolutely. Do you have to invest some money up front? Probably. Can you reduce their budgets? Well, if we're wise about this, the answer is yes. I think we can do it soon, not 4 or 5 years from now, but soon, meaning perhaps even this year.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be done. I want to go back a bit to what I was talking about before, those three pieces that are necessary to get a budget together. This is not new. This is really something that's been done in the past. Ronald Reagan faced a situation similar to what Schwarzenegger and the legislature face today, and he did three things: reform, cuts, new revenue, new taxes. Pete Wilson did the same. And then yesterday I was reminded by a fellow that was very deeply involved in the Duke Majan, and the same thing was done there.
Well, John, let me ask you this, because I think you have the right process there, and it strikes me we have this little Hoover Commission that surfaces every now and then, and they issue reports and studies and recommendations on how to reform and streamline California government. And from what I know, most of those reports go onto a shelf and gather dust. Is there an opportunity in this crisis to dust off some of those recommendations and make some fundamental changes in California government that will not reduce essential services to the most vulnerable population?
The answer is a categorical yes. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. The Little Hoover Commission 2 years ago came out with a major report on the prison system and on the necessity for parole changes, rehabilitation, drug, so forth. It's sitting there on the shelf. It's exactly what I was talking about earlier. We don't need to go out and start a new commission. Their report is there, very, very specific recommendations. Secondly, the legislative analyst has, over the last 20 years, made very specific recommendations for dealing with categorical expenditures in the education budget. Basically block granting, doing away with much of the administrative chaos and expense for categoricals. Other recommendations have been made. There's probably in the legislative analysts' files 50 substantive reforms that could lead to much greater efficiency and much less expense. Why don't those pass? Well, you know, every one of those reforms goes after somebody's sacred cow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this crisis, we have an opportunity to deal with those sacred cows. That opportunity doesn't exist if there's not a crisis. This crisis, we should take advantage of it, and we should seek those reforms. And there's going to be a lot of giving here. People are going to have to give up on some of the things that they've held precious for a long, long time. But if we fail to do that, we miss a very, very important opportunity to streamline government, to save some money, and to do it much better, and at the same time continue to provide the services that are desperately needed by many, many people.
We're going to take a break and return with California Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. If you've got a question or comment, you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient proactive staff, trained certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with California's Lieutenant Governor, John Garamendi, and he's in Sacramento. We're talking about the budget shortfall and what we're going to do about it, and we're joined by David in San Francisco with a comment. Go ahead, David.
Hey, howdy, Peter and John. You know, I have been paying attention to this, I think it's called SB 840, the Universal Healthcare Bill here in California. And apparently it passed in the last legislature. There's a decision to revive it again. It passed fairly... And people who aren't aware of it... Universal care versus money in California.
And David, this would have been the Kuehl bill.
Yeah, exactly. Kuehl. So, what my question is, in hearing some discussion about it, they said that there was we're closing in on something like a $20 billion deficit for this year, but the startup costs for SB 840, we would actually, even with the first year development of it, which would be more expensive than other years, we would still be able to cut the entire deficit for this year if we implemented SB 840. So I'm wondering if you know about that, and I wonder if you're working to get it implemented.
Yeah, well... I'm a supporter of SB 840 and the universal insurance that would provide. However, it is not going to be a factor in this year's budget and the deficit that we have. It would, if it were to pass and were to be signed by the governor, it would not go into effect until about 2 years out. There is money to be spent on implementation, to be sure. But, no, the savings would not be available for some while, probably 2 to 3 years, and it would just take that long to even get it implemented. So it's not a solution for the current problem.
And, in fact, John, what we're going to see are the governor who touted his support for a dental program for seniors just 2 years ago has recommended that we entirely eliminate that. And I can just see, you know, a future billboard for tourism to California with a bunch of toothless seniors smiling and saying, yeah, come on out here and bring some teeth.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. The budget that the May revised budget the government put out really devastates health care in all of its forms for low-income people. It had major cuts in Medi-Cal, which clearly are going to stop many, many doctors and other providers from providing the service because it's the reimbursement is just ridiculously low. And for every dollar that we do not appropriate for the state share of Medi-Cal, we lose $1 of FMI. So the more we cut, the more we lose. So it's really, or if we would spend an extra dollar, we would get another dollar from the Fed to match it. So it's really bad in many, many ways. Public hospitals are seriously impacted. Hospitals like SF General or Santa Clara Valley Medical Center are going to be in deep, deep trouble, along with the Children's Hospital over in Oakland, because of the very serious budget cuts that they will sustain if this budget goes forward. And people are going to be asked to live on less money at a time when inflation does really exist. So for those people that are on what's known as the CalWORKs program, they are going to be actually discouraged from working, which is kind of one of the strange twists in the proposal that we have that's been put to the legislature. Those things need to be dressed up and need to be put aside, not dressed up, but put aside, and then money needs to be made available to provide those basic services. We're talking about the closure of emergency rooms, which affect whether you are rich or poor. You have an accident on in an area that doesn't have an emergency room, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And so these things all need to be done, and that's need to be addressed. And that's why I'm saying that we need to put together a different proposal than the one that's on the table right now.
John Garamendi, last week we got the word that the Supreme Court was going to issue its ruling on the same-sex marriage ban. That was an initiative process just a few years ago. And frankly, I was surprised that the Ron George-led Republican Supreme Court ruled in favor of constitutional equality. And I'm delighted at that. And I'd like to get your reaction. And at the same time, the ballot measure.
Well, it's certainly going to be an issue in California. There will be an issue to change the California Constitution to ban same-sex marriages in California. Governor Schwarzenegger is opposed to that initiative. I'm opposed to that initiative. I hope Californians oppose it, too. Will it be a way to issue California? Possibly, but I think Californians have continue to mature on this issue and to understand that we're talking about people, whatever their sex, that they have a loving relationship, one that they want to solemnize in a marriage. And what's the business of government telling somebody that they can or cannot get married? In a heterosexual relationship for that one moment, with the government saying, "Oh, you can't marry so and so." And I think the same thing would apply in a same-sex marriage. With regard to nationally, yes, it was a major Republican weapon in the election 4 years ago. It was used extensively and had a very serious impact. But again, I think the nation has moved forward on this issue, saying, so what's the big deal here?
And does this propel Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, on to statewide office?
Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. Who's to say at this point? That's a little ways off into the future, 2010 or beyond. We'll see.
All right. Well, John Garamendi, thank you for joining us today. As always, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Take care. Thanks,
Peter. All right. California's Lieutenant Governor, John Garamendi.
You can share a podcast of this hour or any hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Just go to my website. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. This program is produced in San Francisco by the incredible Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is our assistant producer. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally took grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very
the Organic Wine Company. .com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Another record for oil prices.
It seems like we're hitting one daily now.
Oil futures rose as high as $134 a barrel today, and the cost of filling up goes higher as well. Analyst David Purcell.
Heating oil prices are going up. If you drive a diesel car, you're going to be paying closer to $5 a gallon for diesel fuel. Gasoline's going to be a $4 commodity. It's going to be more expensive to fly.
The airlines are passing on their higher fuel costs. American said today it will begin charging you $15 to check a bag, and that's not all.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
David Field of Airline Business Magazine.
Reservation service fees, i.e., if you call up to make a reservation rather than doing it online, it's $5. You have an oversized bag, it's $50. If you have a dog you want to take with you, that's $50 too.
And at a time when customer satisfaction is so low, some passengers are understanding.
Yowz. I guess I'm not surprised.
But Captain Carl Schricker with the Airline Pilots Association is concerned.
Our customer service reputation is already very poor, and this, of course, won't help it.
The House has overturned the president's veto of a $290 billion farm bill.
The yeas are 316, the nays are 108. Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the bill is passed. The objections of the president to the contrary notwithstanding, the clerk will notify the Senate of the action of the House.
The president said the bill was too expensive. It gives subsidies to farmers and increases funding for food stamps. The president has given the go-ahead to a bill on genetic testing, as Mark Noller reports.
And the American Civil Liberties Union supported overwhelmingly.
It's a piece of legislation which prohibits health insurers and employers from discriminating on the basis of genetic information.
By that, President Bush means the law makes it illegal for insurance companies to deny you health coverage or an employer to turn you down for a job or promotion based on the results of DNA tests. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
The president paid tribute to Senator Ted Kennedy at that signing ceremony, saying Kennedy has worked for over a decade to get this piece of legislation to a president's desk. Senator Kennedy left a hospital in Boston today and returned home to Cape Cod, that while his doctors decide on the best course of treatment for his brain tumor. CBS News correspondent Jeff Glore has more.
An aide told us that Senator Kennedy is approaching this illness. He's analyzing every single detail. He's asking doctors as many questions as possible. So even though he is back at his compound now, he is researching this. He is trying to figure out the best way to attack this disease.
And Kennedy spent part of the day sailing. On Wall Street today at the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrials finished 227 points lower at 12,601. The Nasdaq was off 43. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
At Mercedes-Benz, every certified pre-owned vehicle comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles, ensuring that every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details and warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000 mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
An 11-year-old in the annual geography contest won by naming a place most of us have never even heard of.
You think studying that map is all you need for the National Geographic Bee?
Makossa is a type of music popular in which country that lies northeast of the island of Bioko?
Both finalists correctly told moderator Alex Trebek it's Cameroon. You knew that too? Well, how about this?
Cochabamba is the third largest conurbation in what country?
While some of us try to figure out what a conurbation is, 11-year-old sixth grader Akshay Rajagopal knows it's in Bolivia.
Akshay, way to go.
He wins the National Geographic Bee and a $25,000 scholarship. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Here's how desperate some folks are to fill up their tanks. Police in St. Cloud, Minnesota say thieves are stealing license plates, putting them on their cars, and filling up at gas stations, then speeding away without paying. There have been 6 cases in the past 2 months. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances to $97 or more. You know we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card? Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. He got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. You're not laughing anymore, are you?
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We are launching into the free speed zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. That number is 1-888-573-8372. It's what we call toll-free. And I write the check every month myself. We pay for your call. So use your free speech rights and join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to kick it off with Professor Marjorie Cohn. She's president of the National Lawyer Guild and the author of Cowboy Republic.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow. Free peace, peace in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you?
And a political music message from Michael Franti and Spearhead. Yeah, they tell you not to worry about the torture. That one's called Yell Fire. As we mentioned, Marjorie Cohn is a professor of constitutional law. She teaches at the George Washington School of Law in San Diego. Her book, Cowboy Republic, has the subtitle, 6 Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. And, Professor, welcome back to our program today.
My pleasure, Peter B., but it's a different sound.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I did that from memory, and you can see my memory
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, those guys.
Right.
Well, Marjorie, I want to talk in a moment about your recent testimony before Congress. But first, in your role as president of the National Lawyers Guild, I wanted to inquire about some of your members who demonstrated at the Bolt Hall graduation at UC Berkeley recently. And they're calling, as you have, for you because of his participation in the torture policies. He authored two key memos that changed the definitions and changed the rules regarding interrogation techniques used by the military and by the CIA. And he stands by his work rather proudly at this late date. And while I agree with you about the goal, I'm a little troubled about the process. How do we get John Yoo fired from his job and protect the academic freedom of people on the other side of the political spectrum who may come under attack for unpopular and maybe even things that are construed as illegal in the future?
Right about unpopular or to work for the Department of Justice and counsel the president on how he can commit war crimes. And that's exactly what John Yoo did. This is not an issue of academic freedom. This is an issue of being part of a conspiracy to violate the war crime statute, to commit torture.
But he hasn't.
It's not an academic freedom issue.
I understand. Okay, that's a good point. But he has not been charged or tried.
I understand that. But the rules for dismissal of a tenured professor at the University of California at Berkeley include the commission of the conviction of a criminal offense and the commission of an ethical violation and other dishonest behavior, and certainly what he has done comes under that. Now, the National Lawyers Guild has taken the position that John Yoo should be prosecuted for war crimes, he should be disbarred because he has committed ethics violations, and that he should not be teaching at the University of California. And keep in mind that your tax dollars and mine are paying the salary of a war criminal. This is not a private institution, and it's not a question of academic freedom. And I'm very proud to say that the National Lawyers Guild was one of a number of organizations that organized a protest at the graduation. 100 people wore orange jumpsuits and hoods over their heads to symbolize the Guantanamo detainees, and more than one-third of the attendees at the graduation wore orange ribbons in solidarity with that protest. So there is a good deal of sympathy for this protest.
Yeah. So where does it go from here? Is there an academic senate where you file charges and call for his removal?
Well, I have gotten a number of emails from faculty members at Bolt Hall at University of California at Berkeley Law School, alumni who are very upset about what their money is being used for, and students as well. The dean of the law school responded to the National Lawyers Guild's call to dismiss John Yoo with a letter on the Bolt Hall website, and he does not seem too pleased with John Yoo either, although he is not convinced that criminal offenses have been committed. And the import of what he said was that if criminal offenses have been committed, then that certainly would be grounds for dismissal. Meanwhile, the National Lawyers Guild is calling on Congress to appoint a special prosecutor independent of the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute John Yoo and Jay Bybee, who is now a federal court judge, David Addington, William Haynes, Alberto Gonzalez, and the other lawyers, in addition to the high government officials, the Bush administration officials, who participated in this conspiracy to commit torture. And ABC News has recently reported that a group called the National Security Council Principals Committee, and that's PRINCIPALS,
right,
consisting of Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, George Tenet, and John Ashcroft, met in the White House basement and approved specific torture techniques on terrorism suspects, including waterboarding. And Bush was asked about this, and he said, "Yes, I'm aware. Our national security team met on this issue, and I approved." So you have a conspiracy that consists of the lawyers, who were part of this common plan to violate U.S. law. And, in fact, John Yoo admitted that the coercive interrogation policies were part of a common unifying approach to the war on terrorism, and the high government officials who authorized what the lawyers had advised them was legal.
And indeed, earlier today I was talking with Aziz Hook at the Brennan Center at New York University, and they represent a number of clients who are detained at Guantanamo Bay. And we were discussing this same issue from their perspective, which is that we have now a great deal of proof, including this latest Justice Department Inspector General report on the FBI, that FBI agents were present at some of these torture sessions and declined to participate or tried to wiggle out of it where they could. Many of this is that these are not a couple of rogue operators. It's not the Abu Ghraib night shift of
session. Absolutely, and I also want to remind people about BI, this investigation by the these torturous interrogations, and it also mentioned a war crimes file. War crimes. Now, torture is a war crime, and there were three different mentions in this New York Times article of a war crimes file, and they said later the file was closed. Why would they have a war crimes file if they're not concerned about the commission of war crimes? And I also want to mention that one of the other witnesses who testified at the hearing in Congress on May 6th when I did was Professor Philippe Sands, who's a British international litigator, and he wrote the new book Torture Team. Mm-hmm. And he interviewed many of these Bush officials standing with the administration. He said the administration that is false, claiming interrogation techniques came from the bottom up. Like you were saying, the Lindy England theory. Mm-hmm. And then Philippe Sands went on to say that is not true. And government. So, and he has the proof. He's done the interviews and the research to back that up. So this is not just a few bad apples. This is a policy that was set at the highest levels of government based upon these memos written by John Yoo and others.
Marjorie Cohn from the National Lawyers Guild, our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's the president of that group. And you testified before a subcommittee of the House Judiciary Committee on May 6. And I took some high school Latin, but the phrase jus cogens never came up. Would you define that for us and why you led your testimony with that term?
Yes, it's jus cogens, J-U-S-C-O-G-E-N-S, is Latin for and wars of aggression are all considered to be the highest law, a compelling law, that prohibitions against those four things. And that ever pass a law that would legalize genocide or torture or slavery or wars of aggression. And yet you have these lawyers who used to work in the Department of Justice, some of them still do, advising the Bush administration how it could get away with torture. If they had advised how to get away with genocide or slavery, we would be up in arms. And certainly some of these same lawyers, including John Yoo, advised Bush about how to get away with a war of aggression, which is precisely what we're doing in Iraq. And that's chapter one of my book, Cowboy Republic, that you mentioned. But this jus cogens is a prohibition. It's part of customary international law. It doesn't even require a treaty. Customary international law under longstanding principles and cases from our Supreme Court is part of U.S. law. And the very highest form of customary international law
testimony. You list Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld, Powell, Tenet, Ashcroft. You say they are all liable under the War Crimes Act and the Torture Act. and responsibility, commanders all the way up the chain of command are liable for war crimes if they knew or should have known their subordinates torture after seeking legal cover from their lawyers. The president can no more order the commission of torture than he can order the commission of genocide or establish a system of slavery or wage a war of aggression. That is a very powerful statement, Marjorie.
Well, it's true, and it was very well received by certainly the Democratic members of the congressional committee before which I testified. It was the Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties, which is a subcommittee of the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm. Well, and hopefully these wrongdoers will be brought to justice at some point, and we can learn what actually happened and try to prevent it from occurring in the future.
Well, let me just say one thing, and that is that the National Lawyers Guild has written a 14-page white paper that explains the legal case against these people, and that and my testimony can be accessed, the complete testimony can be accessed on the National Lawyers Guild website, nlg.org, or my website, marjoriecohn.com.
All right, Marjorie, great to talk with you. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure, Peter.
Thank you. And again, the book is Cowboy Republic from Professor Marjorie Cohn at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. We'll take a break and return for your phone calls. I've got lines open, so join me. Let me know what's on your mind at 888-5 Peter B. We haven't even talked about Hillary's victory in, where did she win? Kentucky, my old Kentucky home, and Obama's victory in Oregon, both yesterday. So call in now. We'll talk about it at 888-5 Peter B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm Alan Mello with Monterey Business Brokers. As a business broker, I market my clients' businesses proactively, handling all aspects of the sales process, and I assist buyers to find the right fit to meet their financial needs and lifestyle. My extensive experience in sales and marketing, including owning a full-service ad agency, guide my approach to marketing your business. Rather than listing everything I can find, I seek quality businesses with good value. Then I design a confidential custom marketing plan and take the time and resources necessary to present your business in the very best light, professionally packaged to the right audience. A 2007 Entrepreneur Magazine survey concluded that business owners who use the services of a business broker got on average a 20% higher price for their businesses than those that went it alone. If you're ready to buy or sell a business, I'd like to work for you. Give me a call at 917-3511. I'm Alan Mello with Monterey Business Brokers. Let's make your best deal happen. Call me at 917-3511.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we'll start you off San Martin, East San Martin Avenue at Monterey Road. That intersection is shut down for a roadway improvement project. That'll be the case until May 28th, so expect delays should you find yourself in the area. Problems due to wind this afternoon. Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Loman Street, a tree fell down, took some power lines with it. That's got the roadway completely blocked. CHP and PG&E crews on the scene trying to get that moved out of your way. For Greenfield, a similar problem. Elm Avenue at Arroyo Seco Road, utility pole blew down. Some phone lines down in the roadway. CHP's on the scene. A repair crew apparently on the way. From Monterey, new crash northbound 1 at 68. Three cars there in the center divide. Also northbound 1 after Munras Avenue. We have reports of a garbage can rolling around the roadway. And northbound 1 on the Fremont Street off-ramp in Monterey. Two-car crash there. CHP is on the scene. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. I'm Nate. That's traffic on KRXA.
Free Speed Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. We've covered quite a bit of ground since we started the show a couple of hours ago, and perhaps you have an opinion you'd like to share with me and our listeners. We talked about McCain and the media with Paul Waldman, the new report from Media Matters about Lou Dobbs, Bill O'Reilly, and Glenn Beck, and their incredible emphasis on immigration issues on their cable television programs that are allegedly news shows. We also talked about that remarkable new statement. It's not new. Reported statement from McCain supporter Reverend Hagee. And maybe in the next segment I'll pull it up and play it for you, but he, in an early 90s sermon, he commented about the benefits of Hitler, that the Holocaust led to the formation of Israel. And of course, that might be something that is completely understandable in context. But will Reverend Hagee's remarks get treated the same way Reverend Wright's remarks were, taken out of context and played over and over again by Sean Hannity and the gang on the cable news channels? 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to comment, 888-573-8372. Also a note for our listeners on our flagship radio station, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. High winds there have been bouncing the satellite dish around on the roof, and it has led to some glitches and interruptions in the program. So don't blame Homeland Security for that. It's just a high wind and a satellite dish.
Hello.
Good to talk to you again, Bob. How are you doing today?
Am I on the air?
You are on the air, and everybody's hanging on your every word.
I would like to reference yesterday's program with concerning the propositions on 98 and 99 with Dr. Bell.
Gotcha.
My senator, state senator's office has advised... units. And over 90% of all rental property owners request the Social Security number. So it's inconsistent with what the advice is from the legislature.
Now, I understand. I understand that point.
Contrary to the advice from the legislature,
don't want that.
The information, it's unprotected and it's unregulated.
Hey, Bob, I only have about 30 seconds. What is your position on Prop 98 and Prop 99?
In that regard, I would like Dr. Bell to come to the program better prepared to answer your questions, because the topic is more serious than he treated it.
Well, we're going to get some other experts on the program before election day, and we'll cover that in more detail. Thanks for your call, Bob. I've met Bob. He's a great guy, has a hearing issue, and that's why he's talking so loud, and I really appreciate his phone call today. More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line and we'll talk at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Perhaps, if you think about it, all the dragons of our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us just once, beautiful and brave. Perhaps everything terrible in our life is really nothing but something in its deepest form that needs our love and our understanding. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm honored to be on KRXA every Saturday and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And I hope you'll come and join me for what I'd like to think of as a little Zen twist. My program, Aspire, is the breath of spirit, and it is there to help you in every which way loosen up your thinking a little bit and come to a moment in your life where you can feel the presence of something that is greater than your worries and sorrows. Hey, don't just sit there. Come aspire with me.
live Left Coast. Cisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
We continue in the free speech zone, and my switchboard has no calls. That means if you're driving along, you get the opportunity to dial up and spend a short time on hold and get right on the air. Let me know what you're thinking. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. One of my favorite tunes, maybe one of my top 500 of all time. New Order. The song is called True Faith, late 80s or so. And to entice some fresh callers to the Free Speech Zone here today, I am prepared to reward the first time caller to the program. I have a DVD of the documentary film Uncounted, all about election issues in this country and the stolen elections of 2000 and 2004. So I'll pass that along to the first and second new callers to the Peter B. Collins Show between now and the top of the hour. And do you have the number? It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Yesterday, I told you about a full-page ad that appeared in the New York Times. And it reads, "Not so fast. Hillary's voice is our voice, and she's speaking for all of us." And so I sent an email to the group that sponsored this ad. They are called Women Count PAC. That's for Political Action Committee. And they put an email address in the ad, so I sent a note over there. And I said, I might be interested in inviting one of your representatives on the program, but I'd like to know more about Women PAC, about who funds it, and about who you would offer as a guest if we invited you on the show. And that's a pretty standard way that we proceed when we don't know exactly about a group. I don't just issue a flat-out invitation and say, hey, send me a body, we'll talk to him. And so I exchanged 7 or 8 emails over the last 20 hours with a woman in the office of Susie Tompkins Buell, who, as I mentioned yesterday, appears to be the founder of this Women Count PAC. I say appears to be because I don't know. In the email exchange with her associate, none of my questions were answered. She vaguely said that Women Count PAC was formed on Monday of this week. Yet on their website, it says that they ran their first full-page ad in USA Today last Friday. Now, that strikes me as odd, because how could you run an ad for a PAC that had not yet formed? In the same email, she said, we have lots of donations, and they're coming in from all over the country. And then there were a series of demands for more information about the program and my phone number and stuff like that. So when I deduced from the email address of this assistant of Susie Tompkins Buell that this was more or less connected to Ms. Buell, I tried to cut through the red tape and the crap, and I emailed and said, I'd like to invite Susie Buell on the program, and I gave them some times where she could join us on the show today. There were more questions in a subsequent email. I answered the questions, and then they said, well, we're going to ask a certain professor from George Washington University to join us. So I Googled her, and she's quite impressive. Alida Black, I think is her name, and she is perhaps the preeminent scholar on Eleanor Roosevelt. I think that's great. Moments later, an email back from Professor Alida Black. Sorry, I can't do it. And she handed me off to somebody named Tracy. Tracy has never responded. So I tried to get a comment from the people who want Hillary to stay in the race until every vote is cast, every vote is counted, and we know what our voices are heard. That's a quote from the end of their ad. And for some reason, it didn't work out. Now, I have to say that I am puzzled by the layers of apparent secrecy, and I can only speculate that Susie Tompkins Buell, who's a great person, she's done a lot of good, she's become a philanthropist since she sold the clothing store, a clothing company, Esprit. My guess is that she's totally maxed out in her personal contributions to Senator Clinton. And she's probably put money into other political action committees that have supported the Clinton campaign. And so they had to create a new one. And I just find it puzzling this late in the campaign that they would cobble together a group and call it Women Count PAC, publish these full-page ads that are not signed and don't give any indication of who the women are who count. I find it an unusual tactic. You want to talk about that? Feel free. 888-5-PETER-B. We've got John in Carmel Valley. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
I heard you read the excerpts the other day from Larissa's letter to Bush. How is her last name pronounced again?
Alexandrovna.
Alexandrovna.
And we came
close.
You
were going to have her on, but you couldn't today, Katrina said.
There was a scheduling problem. She's in Washington, and she had meetings that conflict, but she has promised to be with us next Wednesday, so I hope that'll work out.
What do you think she hoped to accomplish? Because in the end, or at least in part, she said that she didn't think Bush was going to be receptive. She didn't say it that way. She used another expression. But I agree that that was well worth saying because it was true. But
well, John, let's clue our listeners in because probably some of them have heard me refer to it, but few of them have read it. If you go to HuffingtonPost.com and enter the word Larissa in the search engine, you should come up with her own letter to George W. Bush. It was published last week, just hours after he spoke before the Israeli Knesset and issued his thinly veiled attacks on Democrats and so-called appeasers. And he now claims, he didn't mean Barack. Maybe he was talking about Jimmy Carter, but he wasn't talking about Obama. From her perspective, as the daughter of Holocaust survivors who lost family members during the Holocaust in Europe, 30s and 40s. She wrote a very angry letter, an open letter to Bush, and in it she invoked his family's history in appeasement of the Nazis, in war profiteering. And if you don't know that history, Prescott Bush, who later was a senator from Connecticut, I guess, he was a member of the board of the Union Banking Company. And together with the Harriman Brothers entities, they were actually convicted of doing business with the Nazis well after World War II was underway. And so that is a matter of fact and history. And what Larissa pointed out is that Bush has no standing to offer these veiled accusations of appeasement to those who don't want to, you know, launch a preemptory military assault on Iran and instead would rather talk to the Iranians before we escalate to military action.
But it was an open letter. It wasn't sent directly to Bush, right?
No, it was an internet blog posting. Maybe she did send a copy to the White House. I don't know, but I'll ask her when I talk to her.
So, it was amazingly blunt because, it surprised me. She's a lady willing to take risks because she's investigated many things that I just hope the best for. That's all.
Well, John, you have it right. She's a very courageous person. And part of it is her legacy that, you know, she and her family emigrated to this country. And she's one of those people who really believes in our Constitution. She arrived here as a child. And I think that we can learn a lot from people like Larissa, because so many of us take for granted what was given to us as natural-born citizens.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I'm just still wondering whether there's anything that can be said, anything that would penetrate the thick-headedness of this whole bunch running Washington today. If I sound pessimistic,
I hear you, John.
I wish. I keep hoping something will indicate some new strategy. Maybe there's something yet that beyond the internet, beyond all the things that have been thought of, that will actually be effective. So far, I haven't seen anything. But I hope her letter gets better results than I might imagine.
Now, you're not a TV viewer, right? But
no.
if you have a chance to look, and you don't have the web, right? I think.
No, I live an antediluvian, aloof sort of existence.
Well, go to the John. Go to the library. They took the R out to save money. Go to the library and use the internets and do a search for Keith Olbermann's very powerful commentary last Thursday night on the same subject, okay? Margaret in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Two things. The first thing is that letter you were talking about from that lunatic that says all women are for Hillary. I'm a 78-year-old white woman, and I've been in the women's movement since 1966. I think she should stay in New York. She's perfect there.
Okay.
And the second thing, people are now talking about maybe she should be vice president. You don't want that. That's reckless. She's next in line, if you know what I mean.
Well, Margaret, I traded emails with Gary in Sacramento last night because after the victory for Clinton in a small state, Kentucky,
that had no opposition in.
Correct. Yeah,
yep.
Obama didn't really campaign heavily there,
yep.
And Obama's victory in Oregon and the very powerful speech that Obama gave in Iowa. I hope everybody had a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, well, Obama and Clinton both kicked ass last night, and so how about an Obama-Clinton ticket?
Oh, my God.
And, you know, my biggest issue is, what do we do with Bill? And I believe that that's the so-called elephant in the room that nobody has been willing to define. And if Senator Clinton, from the beginning,
yes,
had been very clear about what role or non-role,
mm-hmm,
that the former president would play in her prospective administration,
yes,
I think she might have gotten a little farther. Now, the Obama phenomenon, I think, was unbeatable this year, and she needs to recognize that and accept that reality. But
mm-hmm,
I do think that, you know, two fundamental things could have changed the course of the campaign for her. One is, had she voted correctly against the war in October of 2002, and number two, if she had identified how we would deal with the former president should she succeed Bush next January.
Well, they had a sort of a devil's agreement there. This started way back when they first met. Neither one of them was in love with anybody except himself and herself, and she realized she could not get into the White House unless she was married. She's probably been, you know, the reason she hasn't divorced him is because she needs him for background. And as for him, well, have you looked at him lately?
He's an angry guy, wagging his finger, red in the face, lecturing us.
Exactly.
What happened to the guy who could sweet-talk almost anybody out of almost anything?
Oh, he was in the driver's seat then.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's in the back seat.
Margaret, I just want to tell you how much I respect you. I mean, you know I support Obama, so I'm not surprised that you take that position. But I'm really glad that I hear from so many women, and I was in Montana, a very red state, last mm-hmm. week, and again, talking to many women who don't stop at identity politics and say, oh, there's a woman running, I've got to support her because she's a woman. There are many Hillary supporters who support her not only because of her sex, but there are, in my view, too many people who are still hanging on to her pantsuit leg. I would say skirts, but I never see those.
No.
And you know, just hoping that Obama's going to implode, that Reverend Wright's got a nuclear weapon.
I'll bet my life none of them ever worked in the women's movement. None of them ever went out with us in the streets. And now, late in life, well, gee, maybe I should have done something. All right, I'll make a fool of myself.
Margaret, thank you very much. It's great to have you listening. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show, and there's room for another call or two at 888-5-PETER-B. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Oh, and yeah, with that fancy iPhone or BlackBerry, you can access portions of the Peter B. Collins Show at phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic for the last time this evening on KRXA, and still have plenty to tell you about, starting with a new crash in Hollister, Fairview Road at Fallon Road. Three cars, they're all off to the side. For Castroville, Salinas Road at Blackie Road, the intersection, all the lights are out, so treat that intersection as a four-way stop and expect delays. Up in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lomond Street, we have a tree and power line still blocking the roadway. CHP there directing traffic, PG&E crews on the scene, and they're saying it may be about 6:15 by the time they get the roadway opened. South 101 at Crazy Horse Canyon Road in Prunedale, broken down truck with a trailer, that's in the left-hand turn lane, and northbound 1 at Highway 68 in Monterey, three-car crash in the final clearing stages in the center divide. This report is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect, only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Abadabadoo and absolutely so. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone, and right now we are sharing free speech rights with Sunshine in Humboldt. Oh, Arcata, actually. Welcome, Sunshine.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to bring up about
the closing of the Enron loophole.
In the Farm Bill, right?
Yeah, it was in the Farm Bill, and Bush vetoed it, and then it was just passed.
That's right. Congress overrode the veto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the point I wanted to make was that it's just interesting because these big oil companies were going to in front of Congress to talk about, you know, their record profits and what's happening with that. But also, this loophole is pretty significant. It has to do with the regulation of the electronic trading. So it hasn't been regulated since 2000. And apparently, it ended in 2000. It was pushed by Senator Phil Graham.
That's right.
And he's also the McCain's closest economic advisor.
Sunshine, you've been reading Jason Leopold.
No.
Well,
why?
Oh,
has he been on your show recently?
Yeah, Jason was on yesterday. And if you go to pubrecord.org, that's his new news website, there's an article there about the Enron loophole and Phil Graham. And I'm glad you know about this separate from Jason, because I'll just admit my own ignorance here. I didn't know how tight Phil Graham was, a player, on the McCain campaign this year.
Yeah.
And he's just a slug. I mean, I'm sorry. I have nothing good to say about that guy, except that he's not in the Senate anymore.
Huh. All right. Well, it's a victory. I guess this was our own... Senator Feinstein and also Senator Levin were the ones who spearheaded it and been spending, I guess, several years actually trying to get it done. So
the Farm Bill is one of those things that is such a huge mess, and I'm generally opposed to it. They put a lot of things in there, a little nugget here, a little nugget there. There was Mike Thompson snuck in an earmark for funding, I think, $120 million for relief for salmon fishermen on the West Coast. I support that, but I don't support the overall use of subsidies, particularly at a time when corporate farms are making record profits. They did put some limits in there on how much an individual farm or farmer can get in terms of these subsidies. But, hey, I'd like to be paid not to grow petunias in my backyard.
I see. So, yeah, maybe there was a compromise between big ag business and some of the oil companies, or at least some of
well,
the large...
Well, big ag
anyway.
Still gets most of the money. There was an increase in money for food stamps, and again, that's one reason why they package all that stuff together like a pack of sausages. Thank you, Sunshine. Roger now in Humboldt County. Welcome, Roger.
Hello, Peter. You and I have met before. When John Garamendi was on, you were talking about the California budget.
Right.
There's one thing that I just never, never, ever hear, and I think it needs to be brought out, and that is when Ronald Reagan was governor of the state of California, when he became governor, all taxpayers in the state of California set in their income tax on April 15th and paid their tax bill for the year. And he instituted a withholding like the federal government. And he managed to get 5 years of income coming in four.
Hmm.
And he spent it all. Now, when we go through the budget thing, and they've got that deadline of July 1st, which never gets met.
You bet.
And so now it's all in on anticipated revenue. Whereas prior to Reagan... the money came in on April 15th, and by June 30th, July 1st, they said, this is how much money we've got. How do we create a budget
mm-hmm.
with this money? And now it's on what do we expect to get?
Well,
so
and they,
our budget problems are a Reagan legacy.
And, Roger, you have a good point that they play a lot of games with anticipated revenues and use that to pad the books and make the deficit look smaller. Even after all of those tricks, the deficit is huge, and it's going to be ugly. Thanks for your call, and thanks for that little history note. Mildred in Coos Bay, good to hear from you today.
Well, hi, Peter B. I have 2 points. The first one's real quick, because you guys discussed most of it. I really am glad that the Bush family dirty laundry is being aired, because if more of that was happening, and especially the dirty laundry actions that they do in the here and now, his administration was really aired, and it got past the corporate media, and the people heard it, there'd be less stuff going on than there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Larissa's article in Huffington Post, and I read a couple other articles, too. And since I don't have a TV, I read Oberman's article. And, you know, I'm so ashamed of our president. He's not even our president, really. He just is in name.
Yep.
And it just really, really bothers me. And it's no wonder that other people in other countries hate us or at least wonder about what's wrong with us. The thing that I wanted to say besides that is, and this bothers me too, Obama won Oregon. Well, now the corporate media is saying Oregon is this unusual state full of weird liberals and all of that. Of Obama's win, and I just wonder if this...
Go ahead. Trigger's here, but you can keep talking.
I just wonder if this was due to Obama, you know, saying the corporate media should be split up.
That's an interesting point. I don't have time to comment on that, but I thank you, Mildred, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Bye-bye.
Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. It's painful enough to fill up your tank these days, but if you're a frequent flyer, the fees are piling up. Can't even check a bag for free on American Airlines anymore.
$15 for the first bag, and it's effective June 15th, which is relatively soon. It's effective for the summer.
David Field of Airline Business Magazine, passenger reaction at LAX.
That's kind of a bummer, but that's today's business. With the price of oil going up, somebody's got to pay. It's not going to be the airline if they're not making a profit, so... figure it's going to be us.
Here's CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
$3 billion in unexpected fuel costs would blow anybody's budget. Now, American Airlines says it has no choice but to start dropping domestic flights.
This is a very big pullback in capacity. 11 to 12% is one of the largest single steps we've ever seen.
The move will allow American to lay off thousands of workers, retire 45 to 50 gas-guzzling older jets, and eliminate some bargain basement fares.
Oil prices hit another record today, up to $134 a barrel. Analyst David Purcell in Houston says that will mean an expensive summer for motorists.
I think as a consumer, you have to at least take a view that $4 retail gasoline may be here for a while, right? And that's ultimately what $130 oil means.
But some lawmakers want some explanations, as Anthony Mason reports.
As the price of crude set another record in the trading pits,
you solemnly swear,
executives of the major oil companies were raked over the coals again in Congress.
Where does this end?
Chevron made $18 billion last year as gas prices soared.
We have to explain to our families and friends what's going on with...
How do you explain your profits?
So the way I explain... Well, I explain my profits by saying we reinvest it all. So, I mean, what we're doing...
Oh, really?
ExxonMobil made a $40 billion profit last year, but an executive claimed the company was only making 4 cents on the dollar.
Senator Ted Kennedy's back home on Cape Cod while his doctors decide on treatment for his brain tumor. CBS News correspondent Jeff Glore has the latest.
Ted Kennedy walked out of Mass General wearing a patch on his head, where doctors took a biopsy of his tumor and a smile on his face. He waved to the crowd. First scheduled to be hospitalized through Thursday, Kennedy pushed to leave sooner and got his wish. With his relatives and his